Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. This is episode 575. The episode today is why we make poor decisions. Easy decisions make for a hard life. Hard decisions make for an easy life. That's a quote by Tim Ferriss. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Hidden Why podcast. My name is Lee Mutnutzi. How the heck are you? Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hidden Why podcast. My solo rant. Today I'm talking about why we make poor decisions. Not all decisions that we make are poor, obviously. Some of us make more poor decisions than others, maybe. I've certainly made plenty of inferior choices in my life, and recently I've made some poor choices too. And it still makes me wonder, why do I make bad decisions? Why do I make the decisions that aren't actually going to be beneficial for my life? There's a few reasons for it. And that's what I want to share in this episode. So hopefully you learn something. Hopefully you can take away a little bit of inspiration or education to help you in making better decisions as well. Guys, it's still a little bit out there in my mind, but hopefully in this, I've clarified what I wanted to say. Let me know what you think. Jump onto thehiddenwhy.com. I'd love to connect with you and hear your thoughts. Always like to connect with you guests that listen to the show and let me know what you're thinking about the episodes that you're listening to. Connect with me online at thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com and at Facebook Messenger, probably the best way to get me. Guys, I'll have a new book coming out soon too, The Ultimate Life Map. You can check that out at theultimatelifemap.com. For more information, please reach out. Guys, enjoy this show, Why We Make Poor Decisions. Thank you for tuning in. G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's solo rant. Thank you for taking the time out to join me. I hope you enjoy this episode. Guys, today I am talking about decision making and perhaps more importantly, why we make poor decisions. I've been reflecting on this quite a bit lately and I actually wrote an article on it as well, Why We Make Poor Decisions. So you can check that out for a little bit more inspiration. I've got to give credit to a couple of people for this talk and for this article that I did write. One is Dan Gilbert. He's got a TED talk titled Why We Make Poor Decisions. So that sort of inspired myself writing the article. But also Tim Ferriss. He mentioned a quote in one of his episodes a little while back now, a quote that his mentor said to him. And his mentor said, easy decisions make for a hard life and hard decisions make for an easy life. And it got me thinking about the decisions I make. I don't know about you, but decision making is not always easy. I try to keep it as simple as possible. And for me, I can make easier decisions when I keep a good, strong routine. And then decisions that require more attention, more focus, more energy, I can then use that for those decisions. So it's about keeping a really good routine. And people will laugh because I wear the same thing most days. I wear gray pants and a white shirt. Perhaps it's the limitation of my wardrobe, or perhaps it's more deliberate. I'd like to go for the latter because it is. It keeps things really simple. And I think if we look at the decisions we make, the less decisions we make, the more time that we have for those important decisions. And I think there's a really powerful message in that. So I just want to start with that thought. But look, going back more importantly to the decisions we make in life, and if I look at decisions in my life, yes, I can put myself on autopilot and have a really strong routine, and therefore decisions are a lot easier. So like getting up in the morning at a certain time, going to bed at a certain time, wearing the same thing day in, day out, eating the same thing for breakfast, exercising in the morning. Those sort of things you can afford to put on autopilot. There's no reason why we need to be trying to spend energy, time, and focus on making those decisions. So that makes a lot of sense. But there's still a lot of decisions that have come into my life where I've made a decision and I've looked back at it and I've gone, geez, that was just a silly decision. That was a stupid decision, or that was a mistake. Perhaps it wasn't so silly, but it was just like the wrong decision, and perhaps there was a better choice for me at the time. So I've made some really poor choices. I've made some really inferior decisions in the past, in recent times too. And I've made some really good ones. So it made me thinking, well, why do we do this? I mean, why do we make poor decisions? So I want to reflect on that in this article. And also that quote by Tim Ferriss, easy decisions make for a hard life, hard decisions make for an easy life. Sometimes I think we avoid those hard decisions. I certainly do. I avoid them like the plague. And why is that? It's just because they're hard. We don't have any certainty around the expected value of actually taking action in that particular direction. So we avoid the decision, or perhaps we revert to the easier options that we're more familiar with. And that's really what this talk is all about, is trying to understand what decisions are priority, what decisions require a little bit more attention, how to make those harder decisions, and also maybe putting ourselves on autopilot so we can make some easier decisions without putting too much energy into them, if that makes sense. So there is a TED Talk by Dan Gilbert, and it is titled Why We Make Poor Decisions. It's a really cool TED Talk. I highly recommend it. I'll stick the link in the show notes for this episode. In that, he shares a formula, and this formula was created by an 18th century Swiss mathematician known for his work on probability and statistics. His name was Daniel Bernoulli. I think I've got that right. Daniel Bernoulli, so check it out. His formula was actually in Greek, and Dan Gilbert indicates this on his TED Talk. Totally confusing, hard to understand. It's in a language I don't even understand. So, but even the formula itself, you just look at it and go, whoa. Pretty insightful stuff. But Dan Gilbert simplified it, and basically this is what he simplified it to. Expected value equals the odds of gain plus the value of gain. So this relates to the actions or decisions we will likely make. So as I said before, we make decisions about the certainty we can have around the odds of the gain happening from taking that decision and taking that action, and the value of that gain, the value that we perceive from taking that action. If we can't see the odds of gain occurring, maybe it's a low chance that the odds of gain will happen from making that decision, or if we can't actually connect with the value of gain about making that decision, perhaps it's a decision that we're either going to avoid because it's too hard to understand the odds and the value of the gain to us, or perhaps it's just a decision we're going to avoid because the odds of it happening or the gain of it happening just aren't that important, aren't that worthy of us actually taking that decision. So that might indicate some of the decisions we make and why we make them. So for example, and I like this example because I think a lot of people can relate, waking up in the morning to do some exercise, to go for a jog in particular. Now, I jog a few times a week at the moment. So that decision for me to wake up and then go for a jog, it's not really that hard. And the reason why is because I can calculate the odds of gain and the value of that gain. I also know that in experience, I have a lot more certainty around those elements of that equation, because most days I wake up at that same time, okay, with the exception of a few, and I go for a jog a few times a week. So I can actually see the value and the odds of me making that decision to go for a jog and then doing it as the expected value or the outcome that I would expect from doing that. And that is because it's really familiar. I can relate to it. It's an experience. It's an occurrence that has happened in the past many times. I can definitely relate to it. It's a familiar experience. There's less uncertainty in there, and therefore my ability to calculate the odds around the gain happening and the value of the gain happening is higher. Now, if I compare that to going for a surf, I've never ever surfed in my life. I live near the surf right now. So there's every chance that, you know, that could happen. And I have actually thought about it. I wouldn't mind. I like swimming in the ocean and I like swimming. I wouldn't mind giving it a crack. Some parts of it daunt me. I guess there's some parts of me that have fear or anxiety around it. Don't know why. Perhaps it's just because I've never done it before. So there's that unfamiliarity that comes with surfing. But if I look at making a decision to get up and go for a surf, well, I just look at it and go, well, the odds of, you know, the gain that I'll get from that, I can't calculate because I don't have the experience. And the value of the gain, well, I can't really calculate either because I don't have the experience. So therefore, it's a harder decision to make. And this is potentially why we make poor decisions. It might be actually a good decision for me to go out there and surf. Who knows what might come from it. I might actually enjoy it and find a new habit, a hobby. I might meet some new people. You know, there might be a lot of expected value gain from actually making that decision. But it's a hard decision to make because I can't relate to it. I don't have that level of experience. At least this is how I see the formula working anyway. Now, if I look at that equation and go, well, in the case of the surfing, I can probably, you know, ultimately it's not the hardest decision to make. And the reason why it's not the hardest decision to make, because there is some level of certainty around taking action, making that decision. For example, I swim and I like going to the ocean. I know the powerful effects that doing that has on how I feel, how my body feels, how my mind feels after, you know, getting in the ocean and going for a swim. Those two things alone I am slightly familiar with. I also have surfer friends that seem to do it and they really enjoy it. They get a great kick out of it. They seem to be addicted to doing it. So if I look at those two things, I can make a little bit more assumptions around the odds of the gain from me actually getting benefit from it and the value of that gain as well. Because I can make assumptions that, yeah, these guys get value from it and, you know, the odds that I'll actually enjoy it because I've actually experienced myself is likely to. So perhaps that decision isn't going to be that hard at the end of the day. And the truth is it's not because of those reasons, I believe. But then there's decisions that we have to make that we have no certainty around. We have no connection whatsoever. Like it might be, packing up our house and deciding to move overseas. We've never done that before, never moved overseas before. Perhaps we've been in a stable job and a stable career for some time. Now, there is a lot of uncertainty around that. There's a lot of unfamiliarity around that. And I look back and go, well, it's based on all the experiences that we've had in our life. That's how we calculate and make the right decisions. And there's a little thing called emotion that comes into play here. And I think this is a really important one that I might get into and then use that to wrap up the show as well. But if we look at that decision of moving overseas, if we've never done it before, if it's not familiar to us, if our circle of friends don't do it, if we haven't really had that connection with other people that do it, all those experiences aren't there. So there's a high level of uncertainty there. So how do we make better decisions? Well, we become more informed. Yeah, we have to find the right information to make those better decisions. So what do? We do our research, we do our homework, we reach out to people, we ask other people that have done it. And that will then inform our ability to use that formula to calculate the odds of the gain and the value of the game to us. Now we can look at with all that information and still have trouble making that decision. And that's because that's when the emotion comes in. And here's what's tricky about emotions. Emotions are created based on experience. And Lisa Feldman Barrett, who's been a guest on the show, she's a great researcher in the fields of emotions. She's written a great book, How Emotions Are Made. And she says that the theory of emotions are hardwired is flawed. She proposes the constructionist theory, which states that emotions are learnt and built over a lifetime of experience. Neuroscience has also found in research that emotions result from numerous brain networks working in tandem and influenced by affect the body and mind relationships to stimuli. So if we look at this, that's how emotions are created. So past experiences, we're going to have a more highly emotional connection to, and emotion typically determines the behavior that we'll favor. Now, if there is a decision that we have to make that we have no past experience to, there's not going to be a level of great emotional connection to that. So it's going to be hard to make that decision, especially in face of when there's the opposite decision or another choice, which we do have more connection with which we do have more familiarity with. You know, we can actually relate to it because we've experienced certain elements of that. So let's look at, again, the choice of packing up and traveling overseas, which we've never done before, or staying in the job that we like, that we know, living in the house that we've been in for a while and continuing down that course. So we've got a lot of emotional connection to that course of action because we've experienced it, we're experiencing it, it's easier for us to do. Even if there was another change, like it meant that rather than moving overseas, we were just going to move house to another area, keep the same job, you know, maybe that was the choice. That decision is going to be easier to make because we have more emotional connection to the choice moving forward because we've had experience there. So again, experience brings that raise to emotion, and that's going to, again, have impact on the ability to make decisions. So if there's more emotional connection to it based on past experiences, it's going to be easier to calculate the odds of gain and the value of gain to us. If we haven't had those past experiences, it's going to be harder to make those decisions and even harder because we probably don't have that emotional connection to it. And this is why we often make choices that sometimes we're just dumbfounded by. I certainly do. Continually, we make these choices, which are poor choices, and we go, why the heck did I do that again? You know, I thought I would have learnt. And the reason is because sometimes the uncertainty of the opposite choice is unfamiliar, and the ability to calculate the odds of it happening and the value of the gain is very, very difficult. So we opt for the one that we can calculate the odds and the value of the gain. So let's look at addictions, for example. It's easy to say, you know, this is what I do on a Friday night. I drink. I know how it makes me feel. I think I enjoy it, at least. Or I do enjoy it, whatever you might be telling yourself. And the odds of me having a drink on a Friday night and having a bit of fun, watching the footy, catching up with friends, the value of that to me is pretty high. That's going to be an easy decision to make. Then the opposite, let's say if we're trying to not drink for the next 4 weeks or whatever, that choice on a Friday night comes around and we go, you know what? Don't really know the odds of gain from me not drinking. And I don't know the value of that that's going to happen to me. I do know, because I'm emotionally connected due to past experiences, what will happen if I do drink. So that's when we opt for that same decision again. It's about breaking that chain, you know, if we want to do things like that. And this is not just related to addictions or habits. Well, it's related to all habits, actually. All habits that we might want to change or get out of. It's going to be hard to create those new habits because we don't have that experience there. There's that level of uncertainty there, and therefore it's harder to make the calculation around the odds of gain and the value of the gain occurring by making that decision. I hope that makes sense. And certainly the emotional connection there is very, very high. When your emotions are in play, you're more likely to make those poor decisions because it's a familiar choice for you. Like eating that piece of chocolate cake, you know you shouldn't eat it, but you're just feeling a little bit sad or something at the moment, and geez, that emotional connection there is strong. And you know in the past by eating that bit of chocolate cake, it's given you a good feeling out of it, and it's made you sort of feel a little bit better when you've been down. So you're going to just do it again, aren't you? That's how it sort of is going to work. So it's pretty interesting how emotion plays a role there. I think actually emotion has a big impact on the quality of the decisions that we make in our lives. And if we can become more aware, we can actually pause and reflect on how we're feeling, and then the emotions that result from how we feel that rise, we can actually pause on them too. And potentially, rather than those emotions actually making us behave, because it's easier to do so, it's easier to make those decisions, perhaps we can pause and go, hang on, well, what is the better decision here? And what's the harm of actually opting for that different decision to see what might come from it? Guys, that it is from me. I'm going to wrap it up there. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, guys and girls. That is my solo rant for this week. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've received some value. Guys, it is my goal, it's my wish that each of these episodes that I do, you are left feeling a little bit more inspired, perhaps even a little bit more educated. I want to really share with you my thoughts, my perspectives, the things that I'm learning, perhaps even some tools and practices that can help you transition from a life with unease, a life that is sufferable, a life that is maybe filled with hate or regret, to a life that is beautiful, a life that has a deeper sense of joy and happiness present at each moment, regardless of the pleasure or pain that you might be experiencing in that given moment. Guys, if you love The Hidden Why, if you love what I'm doing here, you can support the show in a number of different ways. Firstly, you can subscribe to the podcast and subscribe to my newsletter at thehiddenwhy.com. If you have the time and haven't already, you can leave us a review on iTunes. It's a 1-5-star review with a quick comment. You can also connect with me, guys. I love your feedback. I love your suggestions. I love your comments. So connect with me at thehiddenwhy.com. You can leave comments in any of the show notes that you listen to there. You can also reach me directly through my email address and in any of the social media platforms available there. You can also support the show by using the Amazon links within each of the show notes. And that does help support the show. Guys, that's really it. Other than that, go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. Do everything with greater purpose. And in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. You will discover a life with greater meaning, freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Thank you.